This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
The name herpes is derived from the ancient word herpine, which means to creep and crawl, which is the very nature of the herpes virus itself, because what it does is it actually enters into this dormancy stage, and then all of a sudden it'll just kind of creep and crawl and expand from one cell to the other, and then it emerges as this infective agent that basically is going to impact the body, causing it to have all of the symptomology, perhaps shingles. There's a lot of information I'm going to share as far as connection with other associated diseases. But what it does is it just really kind of stays dormant, hiding in these cells, and then all of a sudden, in this perfect environment in the physical body, it becomes active. And when it does, then it starts to kind of creep and crawl to the cells around it once it actually ruptures, and then goes into this activity outbreak stage, and then goes back into dormancy, and then kind of creeps and crawls and everything. So, I mean, it's really kind of like a sci-fi movie when you start thinking about the way that herpes is able to really survive. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the day's show is about the hidden meaning behind herpes. And this show is actually a suggestion from Sandra, who is a listener from Germany. She sent me an email saying that she had chickenpox at the age 29, which is quite old to get the chickenpox. And there can be other complications associated with that. Most of us get them as when we're children. But at age 29, she actually was had chickenpox. And ever since then, she's really had severe outbreaks of herpes, specifically on the back of her spine. She says that these outbreaks seem to become out of nowhere. They go away, they come back, and they're becoming more uncontrollable and even more frequent, which is not uncommon for the herpes virus as well. But she wants to know what triggers the outbreaks and what she can do to help herself. And I'm going to be talking about some of the things that conventional medicine offers us to be able to deal with a herpes virus, and then also some alternative choices that you can use to be able to manage or to even prevent the herpes virus. So that's what my topic's going to be today. And if you do have a topic for me that you'd like me to cover on the show, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then submit it. And then what I'll do is let you know that I'm going to be using the topic on air and when it's going to actually air. You can actually submit that topic on my homepage, www.ritberger.com. Go to the radio show schedule page. There's a little bubble man, as we call them, the Babylonians, as we call them. And just click on there, submit your suggestion, and then I will be glad to, you know, look at it and put it in the lineup as far as the different topics. And I enjoy the research and sharing the information. And if it's a topic that is really something that is kind of top of the mind as far as what we're dealing with, as far as the latest research and so forth, then what I'll do is I may even decide to do a 1 hour Your Health teleclass on the topic. I also wanted to let you know that I've just posted my reading schedule for May. So if you've been interested in getting a medical intuitive reading, it's a perfect time for you to be able to go online and to be able to do that. Everything is booked online, first come, first serve. All the dates and times are available, as well as the cost. And I can talk about anything about health. I've had a lot of conversations recently in my readings where we've been talking about this energy and how do we stay in our bodies while we're on this roller coaster ride of energy, soul's purpose, relationships and soul agreements with the people in your life. And then I've had a lot of people who are really seriously looking at making some major changes in their life. Specifically, I've had a lot of conversations around job and career. So as you can see, I'm quite eclectic in what I'm able to use my intuitive skills with beyond just the medical intuition. So if you're interested in reading, just go ahead and go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And what you can do is then just go ahead and book online, and then we'll let you know as far as the call-in information the week before the reading itself. And then we also ask for a sense of direction as far as what you want to cover. I only have an hour, so the more you can help me go where you're looking to go in your questions, but the more effective I can make that time that we have with each other. So again, online, www.ritberger.com. There's actually, when we come in to, oh, I know the other thing I was supposed to do. I want to invite you. Let's see. I did that to call me. That's good. Did I? So I'm going to do it again. Hello. Get in your body, Carol Reitberger. It's kind of that kind of energy today. Any of you feeling that? If you are, I can vibrationally pick up the shaking of heads of yes. Those that aren't, I'm going to invite you to send me an email. I'll bring you on and you can host the show because once in a while, this energy is crazy. Anyway, if you do have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. and Canadian callers as well as international callers. Then, of course, just dial your international calling code, and then the number 877-230-3062. So when it comes to herpes, there are really two basic types. There's actually eight different strains of herpes itself, and the strains are really identified by the way that they basically grow, mutate, and impact the physical body. But when we really look at herpes, we really are going to look at two specific, basic types, and that's the type 1 herpes. It's considered the herpes simplex, and it actually surfaces on the skin as cold sores or skin eruptions. this particular herpes itself can cause the herpes that's also can cause the inflammation in the cornea of the eye itself. Then there's a type 2 herpes, which is the zoster, and this actually is the herpes that surfaces in the form of chickenpox, which Sandra said that she had at age 29. Also, this zoster, the type 2, is responsible for genital herpes and shingles. And what the shingles do is they really affect the nerve endings in the skin itself. Most of us in the research that is now being brought forward, and part of the reason that we're learning so much about herpes and from where it was even 10 years ago, is the fact that we're having more people developing herpes type of symptomology or actually having outbreaks. And one of the latest research that I did and found is that in worldwide, at least 95%, that's what's being said research-wise, 95% of the population globally are actually exposed to and are carrying a herpes virus, whether it's virus 1, type 1 or 2. So it really is something that is becoming very, very prevalent in our society and impacting the physical body. But what occurs is that when that virus first enters into the body, it basically shows up in the form of maybe having flu-like symptoms or a fever that's associated with it. I'll talk a little bit more about the symptomology in a moment and so forth. But those are the two primary things that really surface. And what it does is we get that flu-like symptom, that little low-grade fever, and then what that does is that perfect environment, because of the inflammatory reaction, the immune system doing what it's designed to do, actually causes this virus to stay in an outbreak state. And then what occurs when the body goes back into its state of pH balance or the body gets the rest that it needs can be tied to food and many other things that can actually trigger this perfect storm. Then what will happen is those virus basically find a host. They're more parasitic in nature. They find a host. And then what they do in that host is they basically change the cell genome, and it changes it in a way that that cell then becomes the surrogate for that virus to be able to reproduce itself, replicate itself in a very fast fashion. Then when the body gets back into a state where it's out of balance, and again, that can be in pH, it can be in stress or emotional distress, then what occurs is that cell, because it becomes so engorged with all of these virus cells, causes that cell to basically rupture and explode, and it infects all of the cells that are directly around it. When it's in that active outbreak stage, it also allows those cells to go systemic, getting in the blood, and then to be able to travel to other places within the body, and that can cause the outbreaks to sometimes move around. Shingles can move around in people. Genital herpes, of course, is in that general area, but it also could be the outbreak in the cornea of the eye, and it also may be something that's just close to the eye. So again, that's the way it works, and then it moves and finds its other place, its community to be able to live, goes into dormancy, and then basically perfect environment causes it to reoccur, to go through the rupture stage, infect other cells. And this is part of the reason in that process that it isn't uncommon for someone who experiences the herpes outbreak themselves. Once they have an outbreak, there is a tendency that there will be other outbreaks that will occur. And the best thing that we can do, of course, is to be able to really monitor the body and to keep it in a state where it has this balance that it needs. It's an exquisite instrument. It's literally designed to go in and to really work at being able to do what it's designed, meaning in the healing process. The best way that medicine works, conventional medicine works with the herpes virus, again, a change from what the research was and what we were doing even 10 years ago. At that point in time, in a herpes virus outbreak, what they do is just throw lots of antibiotics at it. And what they've realized is because of the viral nature of it versus the bacterial nature, antibiotics really aren't effective. They can help support the immune system, but they really aren't effective in working with the herpes virus itself. So what we're doing now from conventional medicine is they're actually using antiviral drugs. Other research that was being followed for a long time is that what happens over the course of someone's life is basically herpes is going to burn itself out. And that once you reach 50 years old, then there's a very good chance that you will not experience another herpes outbreak, whether even if it's genital herpes. But now we know that that is even different because herpes virus, like every other virus or bacteria, has an ability to mutate for the conditions that it's in, and they can become super in the way that they work. Not good super, but super in the way that they impact the physical body. So what there is now is there's a lot of research that shows that once you hit the age 60, with a lot of the different chemistry changes in the body, the natural aging of the body, that it can actually increase the susceptibility to the herpes virus. So there's an actual vaccine that has been developed for people 60 and older who have had herpes outbreaks in the past. Medicine is encouraging them to go ahead and get this vaccination in order to be able to curtail the outbreaks once you get at that age, because it can be much more dangerous at that point in time. Usually the reoccurrent episodes are really triggered by stress. I find that there's a lot of things, emotional distress, stress, fatigue, even temperature changes, poor diets, diets that are high in sugar, food allergies. There tends to be a connection between the herpes virus, specifically the herpes simplex, the herpes simplex, that there tends to be viruses and allergies associated with that, alcohol, sunburn, and then also some of the use of anti-cancer drugs. Now, not all anti-cancer drugs are going to trigger a herpes outbreak, but there are certain ones that can. And then also Hodgkin's disease, and then anyone who is suffering from an immune deficiency disorder, such as lupus, even when the immune system, people with Hashimoto's disease have a higher propensity to experience these outbreaks. So a little bit more, I want to take a couple of calls while I've got people on the line, and then I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about how I see this herpes activity in the energy field itself. So let me go ahead and take Kristen from Sacramento. Hi, Kristen, line two.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for calling me.
Thank you. I was calling because it's been a while now that I'm having difficulties eating. Mm-hmm. Food just isn't, there's no attraction to eating, and I need to eat because I'm taking supplements, and obviously my body needs food. So I was wondering if you could help me see what is going on in my physical body.
I can, and thank you for asking that, and I can, and you really hit the nail on the head when you say if you're taking all these supplements, and supplements have a lot of value, so please don't get me wrong on that, but when we have supplements, the supplements, the way that they're created with the cellulose cover on them, a cap on them, and a gel cap standpoint, or if they're encapsulated where there's a harder thing, it's really difficult for the body to be able to break that down. And that can compound the problem because it requires more of the pepsin, the hydrochloric acid. So the most important thing is, sweetie, even if you're not attracted to food, and I'll address that in a moment, but even if you're not attracted to food, it's important for you to have food in your stomach when you're taking a supplement so you're not taking it on an empty stomach, because that can compound the issue. So for that, congratulations, being a medical intuitive, very good for you. One of the things that I encourage you to do is I would encourage you to put something in your stomach very, very, what I call benign, not a lot of spice, not a lot of anything that's going to actually cause the stomach to have to work harder. And I would probably work at putting something in your mouth, chewing it really well, and putting it in your stomach at least every hour to get yourself back to the point where your body can find what it's looking for as far as the regulation. If you can't do that, at least every couple hours. Doesn't need to be a lot of things. It could be just maybe a little slice of apple. And again, it's just to give your body what it needs in order to be able to remember it's supposed to be able to eat and to absorb food. The other part of it is that when I go in and I actually touch the stomach itself, I really don't think that what you're dealing with is a psychological part that you're just forgetting to eat. When I go in and I actually touch your stomach feels, and when I say that energetically, what it feels like is that your stomach feels really raw to me. Do you find when you eat that it's uncomfortable?
There's a lot of nausea. It's almost repelling to put food in there at the moment.
Yeah. One of the things, have you seen a gastrointestinal doctor?
No.
Okay. I would encourage you to do that, and I'll tell you specifically why as I'm picking it up. The stomach itself feels like it's really got a lot of inflammation and irritation in it. And it has the energy that we may have some H. pylori that is active in the stomach. So when you do put food in there, the stomach's, because of what I'm picking up as far as this irritation, when you do put food in there, the stomach is naturally wanting to repel it. It just wants to get it out of there. And that my sense is that that can be causing some of the nausea as well. So what we'd want to do is work with a gastrointestinal doctor and tell him what the symptomology is. One of the things is if he does want to, or she does want to, put you on any kind of antacids, I would ask them, you know, what they're expecting the outcome to be with that, because what it feels like is that you're actually producing enough hydrochloric acid to the point where it should work, and if they put you on any kind of antacid, it's going to decrease that, and I think that may cause the stomach to be more inflamed. So talk to the doctor about that. But I would look at that. But what's really happening is whatever's going in, your body, your stomach just wants it out, and that's part of the nausea that's going with it. The other part of it, sweetie, is because nothing is just one simple thing, which is makes it difficult for us to be able to figure out what to do. The other thing is that when I go up into your neck area, have you been having tightness in your neck up around the kind of mid-neck up to the neck around the ears? And can you feel tension in that area?
Definitely. So it's for quite a while now.
Okay. There's a couple things is that in that particular case, what I'm finding is that the cranial nerve, number 10, the vagus nerve, I talk about that quite a bit in my shows, but that is a nerve that basically runs from really around the temple area, the ear area, and it runs down the spine and it comes out in the thoracic plexus. And that nerve animates, it's part of the activity and the balance of activity in the stomach, in the lungs, meaning breathing, and then also in the chest. It's sometimes if we have compression in the nerves in that area, they compress those nerves, that cranial nerve. It can cause nausea. It can cause shortness of breath in some people. It may cause palpitations in other people. But my sense is if you could work with someone with cranial sacral work, that could help, or someone who does non-force chiropractic in your particular case. Chiropractors are all good, even the ones that work with the spine. But that feels like that'll help you. And what it's going to do also, honey, it's going to take pressure off of that left jaw hinge that I'm picking up.
Okay.
So the reason I wanted you to go to see a gastrointestinal doctor is they could run the tests that are necessary to find out if the H. pylori or if there's a bacterial activity in your stomach that's causing your stomach to absolutely want to repulse and repel any kind of a regurgitate or just get it the heck out of your stomach. That's why I suggested that you go that way.
Okay. I also work with Jana Din, and I know she does shamanic healing.
Oh, yes.
And intuitively, I've been feeling that a lot has occurred in my stomach area when my family passed away years and years ago, and I've been, we've been trying to do a session. Is that any part of this? Part of the stomach?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, when I go into the third chakra where the stomach is, I mean, you're feeling powerless about this whole thing. All of us will do this, sweetie, is we always replay what could I have done, what should I have done, and everything. But it feels like in the transition of your family, and I can't pick up if it's mother and father. I know that there's a closeness in both sides, but there's a deeper closeness with one of them. Doesn't mean you love them more, but there really is. But there feels like there's some unfinished business there. And you feel to me like you just are questioning what you could have done, or how can this be, or how can you move on there. So I'm getting some powerlessness in that particular chakra itself. Working with Jana, one of the things that, and Jana's a former student of mine, exquisite as her shamanistic healing, one of the things that you might ask Jana to work on, and she'll pick this up, but she'll actually, in her drumming, change the tone to be able to match your body. Have her work on the sixth and the first chakra. And if she can find balance and harmony in that shamanic work between the sixth and the first chakra, what it's going to do is it's going to relieve a lot of that tension, energetic tension you have in the third chakra. That could help as well.
Okay.
So I have a question. It feels like father. Close to your father?
Yes.
Did your father have stomach problems, honey?
I don't know, because they passed when I was 16, and okay. I don't recollect.
Okay. Okay.
What triggered it was my brother just passed in December, and so it's just kind of it's brought up that separate feeling again for everything.
Yeah.
And so this is why everything's surfacing. I feel that everything is surfacing now. So
exactly. Did your brother have stomach problems?
I think my whole family did. That's what my aunt tells me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the reason I said that is kind of what you shared with her transition, close with the father, couldn't get it until I started touching a little deeper. The father with stomach issues, and then, of course, your brother with stomach issues. And one of the things is I think that's what brought up this old emotional feeling that you have about not having the power to be able to change or to help or to do the things that you would like to be able to do. So I do think that there's some energy work around that. And I think with Jana working with the sixth and the first chakra, creating harmony between those two chakras, the third is going to just go in and release the way it needs to. You'll call back a lot of your personal power, and that will help you as well as the physical aspect.
Oh, thank you very much.
You are most welcome. Thanks for calling me. All right.
Thank you.
What I want to do, my pleasure. One of the things I want to do very quickly before I take the commercial break, and then I do have callers, so please stay on the line. I am going to get to you. One of the things that I've always found as a medical intuitive that really helps when I work with people is to provide them a picture of what's going on in their body in multiple different perspectives. And that can be physically, emotionally, mentally, even energetically, because we are energy beings first and then physical beings second. And then what I do is by giving in that holistic perspective of all of the things, the different layers that are associated with what's happening in the physical body, then they're able to take and choose one area in that perspective that they really feel that they have control over and that they're going to be able to participate in a sustained, meaning more than just barely thinking about it, but actually make changes in their life to be able to create the balance and harmony in the physical body so it can literally repair itself. Because what does occur is that the body itself is able to literally repair itself. So what I want to share very quickly before I go into the commercial break is I want to share what this really looks like in the energy field itself. Now, herpes itself for me as a medical intuitive doesn't really come in overall and say, hello, Carol, here's herpes over here, you know, in the lower back, left side, on the hip area, down in the genital, in between, whatever it does. It doesn't do that. But when herpes becomes active, what I do find is it primarily surfaces and reveals itself in that seventh chakra. That's the crown chakra. And then also it goes in and it impacts the fourth chakra, the thymus gland, again, part of the immune system, the spleen and the third chakra, which is a part of the immune system, and then the second chakra, which actually has a Peyer's patch, as it's called. It's a highly concentrated grouping of lymph systems or cells. So when I go in and I pick up that someone is experiencing a herpes, whether it's in the initial stages or there's an actual outbreak or that they're on the other side of the outbreak, I will actually see energy congestion in the top of the crown, also in that chest heart area, also in the spleen, left side of the body, right at the lower rib cage. It's kind of tucked up underneath there. And then also in the lower abdomen below the belly button or the navel, as my mother calls the belly button. And then what I'll do is I'll actually see that there's activity in that area, and that lets me know that the immune system is engaged with the herpes virus itself. So what I do is once I pick up that the energetics over the course of my time and documenting everything and doing this work, I know that herpes has a very specific pattern that shows up in the body. I know that there's going to be a lot of brown, a lot of red, that inflammation, a lot of green, kind of that phlegm green that goes in and shows that this is where the energy is congested. We actually have cellular activity where I've got a lot of dead cells in that area that are waiting to be removed from the body. So there's an actual pattern in the energy field and in the chakras. But what I always want to do is I want to go in and really find what is the root cause of what is occurring. And one of the things that I have found with the herpes environment, that's a perfect environment from a psychological standpoint, is that we're under a tremendous amount of stress, but not so much the physical stress, it's that emotional part. There's a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, a lot of resentment, a lot of irritation. There could be a lot of sadness, disappointment. All of those things, though, are self-directed. And when I go and I look at the spleen's like sending out this little, hello, Carol, hello, Carol. Yes, you're right. This is self-directed anger. What's happening is the body is basically turning on itself, which is what the immune system does in a herpes outbreak, turns on itself, and then it's creating a problem in the physical body. So, again, things that I also find is that it's really tied to that power part of who we are, that self-confidence, the third chakra that's tied to the seventh chakra. I find that people who are in that emotional distress, physical stress, but more emotional distress, they're feeling unplugged from their spiritual nature. Maybe they're just too involved in the physical world and not doing their spiritual restoration process, whether that's yoga or rest or mantras or meditation. And what I find is they're rejecting themselves. They're experiencing a metamorphic, what I call a loneliness. And then they're unwilling to trust their intuition. Now, that's not an overall statement, but I do find that in that particular case, people who tend to have reoccurrence of herpes outbreak do tend to question or not trust their intuition that is basically giving them those warning signs long before the herpes can become active, is giving them the warning signs saying, you know, I think that you need to change what you're eating right now. Get off that sugar. Or maybe you put sugar in your mouth. It's like, whew, this tastes terrible. Those are the ways that your intuition will talk to you. So when you're looking at the energetics of herpes, certainly look at it from a physical standpoint, know the symptomology, but also look at it energetically and look at, are you in balance? Are you out of balance? Are you irritated with yourself or your self-expectations driving you to try to be superwoman, superman? And what it's doing is causing a lot of emotional stress, distress. Also, look at what's going on in your environment with your family, extended family, and so forth, because all of these are the actual triggers for herpes. So all of my callers, stay on the line. I'm going to be right back talking a little bit more about herpes and then sharing some of the things that you can do besides just antiviral drugs to be able to really quell the outbreaks and manage them around the herpes virus. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Now is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
Hello and welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I'm talking about the hidden meanings behind the herpes virus. It's actually a suggestion from a listener from Germany who listens to my show. And if you have a suggestion for me as far as a show topic, I encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and send me that suggestion. And then what I'll do is I'll put it in the lineup. And if it's something that has enough general appeal, and excuse me for saying it that way, but really things that people could value from the in-depth research associated with it, I'm going to turn it into a Your Health teleclass. So if you have a topic, go to my website, www.ritberger.com, send that topic to me, and then I will email you and let you know how it's going to work and when it's going to air if I use it on my show. And I really do appreciate all of the support from my listeners to being able to help direct me in the areas of my show topics and also my Your Health teleclasses that are really of value to you. I've been talking about the herpes virus, and one of the things that I mentioned in the first segment of the show is that there's really a lot of diseases that we're now recognizing that herpes really has an integral part in the susceptibility to developing these different associated diseases. One of them actually is coronary heart disease. Also, there's been new latest research. When I say that, it's not within the last 30 days, but we're finding a lot of research in the last 5 years that shows that herpes can actually be a contributor to certain types of cancer itself. And one of those cancers happens to be prostate cancer in male, that the herpes virus can cause a tendency for prostatitis. That's an enlarged prostate with the inflammation associated with it. So we're finding new research that way as well. Excuse me. Also, autoimmune disorders such as lupus, which I mentioned, and then some exciting research that's happening right now is they're actually finding that there may be, and I say maybe because it's still in those clinical trial states, that there may be a connection between the herpes virus and even Alzheimer's disease. And part of the reason for that is because of the way the herpes virus actually changes the chemistry of the body. And with that combination of the herpes virus and then the change in the chemistry of the body, that it could potentially be a part of the predisposition for Alzheimer's. One thing that has been shown in the latest research is that there is a direct connection between herpes and multiple sclerosis. And this was actually discovered in 1986. It was a Norwegian research project where they really uncovered a lot of the different viruses that literally can change the chemistry of the body, that inflammatory reaction, and impact the nerves itself, which is exactly what the herpes virus does in the case specifically in shingles itself. So there may be a correlation there as well. I want to jump in and let's go ahead and take some other callers because I'd like to be able to do that. And then I'm going to offer some suggestions of what you can do to work with herpes virus. Hi, is it Amala?
Hi, this is Amala. How you doing?
Hi, Amala. How are you, honey? Thanks for calling me.
Thank you. I have a question. My solar plexus, I feel like somebody punched me on my right side. And it's been like this for 3 months. It's like, oh, my God, it's terrible.
Yeah. Pain. Yeah. Have you seen a doctor? I'm going to have to ask that question.
I know. You know, I know I'm put it blank. I think I'm just dumping ancestral stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. I always honor where everybody is. In this particular case, honey, I'm not picking up that it's muscular. It feels like it's tied to your gallbladder. Have you ever had gallbladder problems?
No, not at all.
Okay, so let me do a little bit of research, kind of the way the doctor would. Do you find that there are times where you have almost like a severe outbreak that occurs where you get this tightening or this nausea? Does it go to that way?
Wait, can you repeat that? What did you say?
Yes. In the symptomology with what we're experiencing, because I'm going to have to ask you some same things that a doctor would ask you. And the reason for that, I'm going to go in from a different course of direction.
Sure.
When are there certain foods that you eat that seem to cause this to be more frequent?
No, not really. I'm on my same diet. I'm vegetarian and vegetables galore and rice and broccoli and all the good stuff.
So. Do you find if you eat raw foods that it triggers anything?
I don't really eat raw foods. As much because I know my body, I need the digestion, good. I need cooked food, yeah.
Good, okay, perfect. And thank you for responding to me, because what it's doing is it's letting me work through all of this energy congestion you have in this area to go in, so I can actually connect and say, hello, gallbladder, what's going on with you? Are you really the culprit? I know, woo-woo, that's my woo-woo signal. Okay, so let's see. I'm gonna still go where I was with gallbladder.
Sure.
I looked for gallstones. I didn't find anything, but I am finding some inflammation in the gallbladder itself. And it feels like with that inflammation, again, I can't find stones, but it feels with that inflammation that what it does is it just causes that gallbladder to be really irritated. It's almost like the bile duct itself has got some inflammation associated with it. Do you work with any kind of naturopath or holistic practitioners?
No, I don't, but I could look into it.
Would you, in this particular case, honoring where you are, would you go and find either a naturopath or an integrative medicine doctor that basically works with both, that has the medical background and then also understands the holistic approach? Because what it feels like is it feels like there's an actual inflammation in the gallbladder itself, in the bile duct. And when that area, for some reason, to me, feels like it gets raw, it creates this the best I can say is almost a spasming. I know that's not accurate, but that's what it feels like. That causes that whole area, the muscles and everything, to just tighten down on it. That's what I'm picking up.
Okay. All right.
And, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, does that, my right foot, I fractured my left, and now it's like my heel on my right leg. Is that all connected?
Well, it is, but it's a different thing than what I've got as far as that kind of, I'm going to call it acute pain, meaning that it feels like it comes in waves. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's,
yes.
Okay. Yep. So when it gets to that place where it really, really is uncomfortable, that it causes the mind to go, woohoo, we have an alert going on down here, that feels to me like gallbladder. When I go in and the muscles in the body, you get into that state, they cramp down. They basically tighten down. They're doing their job. They're trying to protect. But it's pulling on the spine and the thoracic spine, really in that lower part just before the lumbar, probably thoracic, seven. Let me go down further. I was picking up gallbladder. Let me go down. Hello, gallbladder, go away from me. Number 10, 11, and 12 vertebrae, lumbar 1, all of those vertebrae are tied into it, causes the muscles to get tight. It's throwing your gait off. It's throwing your sacroiliac joint off. You're out of balance, and that's what's causing the left foot. That's probably what caused the left foot to have its problems, and it's what causing the right foot. Your right foot has been compensating for what's been going on in your left foot. So I can say this real succinctly right now. Find your balance in your physical body with stretching, mild, to be able to bring balance. You could work with an acupuncturist. You could work with an acupressure. You might be able to work with reflexology. I just tested that. The right foot screamed out, do not touch me. So scrap the reflexologist. Once it stops bothering you, you could do that.
Can you rewind? What did you say about my foot?
Yeah, in your foot itself, your foot screamed at me when I was going to send you a reflexologist where they work on your feet. Your right foot said, don't touch me.
Oh, my goodness.
And so what I had to do is I test it, and it said, don't touch me. Reflexology could work well for you. Right now, it just feels like it's kind of irritated with everything. So with the acupuncture, go ahead, sweet.
No, yeah, I just had a massage on Monday, a Thai massage, and it's hurting again. Here it is only Wednesday again.
Well, and it really, we just got to get the chi. Just think about getting that chi down there. The massage relaxes the muscles, gets it down there. But we need to visualize getting the chi from your crown of your head down to your mid-torso, out your right leg, through, well, actually both of them, through your knees, through your heel, through your ball of your foot and feet, and then also your toes. So you can do something like that. But that's what it feels like. It feels like what's going on in the back area is really tied to tight muscles, but I still get that gallbladder that says that, you know, that needs to be worked with.
Okay. All
so,
right.
Yeah, that can help. Are you doing a lot of supplements?
Yes. Well, I'm just taking right now, I'm doing, what is it, lecithin, which is water supplement for memory, but not really, no, I'm not.
Okay, okay. It could be that it, again, I'm not anti-supplement nor doctor, but it could very well be that what you're getting is a residual for some things that you were doing within the last 6 months is what it feels like.
So it's old stuff that's coming up?
It is.
Okay.
And it's around feeling guilty. How's that one for going there?
I know.
Well, just, you know, pack it up, send it out, you know. Let it just go bye-bye. You know, put it in a great healing bag. It's like, hello, guilt. I'm looking for you throughout my body. Stop holding it in that, you know, gallbladder area, and I'm just going to pack you up. You're out of here. I'm done. And just keep doing that, sweetie. And then what it'll do is eventually the gallbladder's going to go, oh, my gosh, there's no more guilt, and I can go from there. Thanks for calling me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Carol.
You are so welcome. All right, so I'm going to take line one. Thank you for calling me.
Hello.
Hi, Sindhu. Thanks for calling me.
Hi, Carol. Thank you for taking my call. This is my first time, you know, I just got to know about this radio show today, and I'm already online. I'm
good.
So excited.
You are going to, I'm going to do a little quick plug for CTR. You're going to love this radio station with the host. It's quite, you know, we're quite well versed in a lot of different areas, but I hope that you enjoy the radio station.
Oh,
it's really a lot of fun. So how can I help you?
My question is, I have a general overall dryness in my body, especially in my eyes. I have a very chronic dry eyes with no tears or very less tears.
Mm-hmm.
And also I have the soles of my feet are always cracked and dry.
Correct.
And I go to an acupuncturist, you know, he said that I have excess in the liver and I don't have enough warmth in my uterus. We have been trying to conceive too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any connection and how I can improve my, you know, the state of my health?
Yeah, and excuse me, his energy actually came in. In that particular case, right on target. As far as, you know, the things that were shared with you, well, the thing that feels like you're at odds with yourself, sweetie, is between that first chakra, the uterus, and then also the sixth chakra. And when I say at odds, I just think of it as an energetic tension. You're highly developed in your intuition. Right now you feel like you're being really kind of grounded and tethered to reality. It's not a bad thing, but it isn't a good thing for you as well. Excuse me for the riddles. But you are highly developed in your intuition. It feels like the intuition's been put on the back burner. That could be part of the heat thing that was being referred to in a more metamorphic way. But what it is, that sixth chakra, when it becomes congested or it becomes depleted, and how we use the energy in that sixth chakra, it can impact the eyes itself, it can impact the sinus, and in some people, even the ears. And then when it gets down into the first chakra, one of the things I pick up is worry, which is natural. I mean, you know, it's not about blaming worry, because you would like to get pregnant, and you're not getting pregnant. You're worried that you're not getting pregnant. What it might, excuse me, be, and what it's going to do is it creates this insidious circle. So if you take the visualization, sixth chakra in the brow, first chakra, of course, at the base of the torso, and you create a half circle, when you don't use your intuition, meaning that you put it on the back burner, you always use it, but not consciously aware, then what it'll do is it'll create an impact vibrationally in the first chakra, and then it goes up. So you're kind of like a, in the energetics, a dog chasing its tail. It's got the six first and goes round and round and round. In the middle of that is the third chakra, and the third chakra has to do with liver. It has to do with stomach. It has to do with spleen. And one of the things with your chronic dry eyes that I'm picking up is that you have a low-grade infection that your body has been working with for a long, long time. It's not a herpes, but it actually is an infection. It feels like it's bacterial in nature that causes your immune system to always be sending out that inflammatory reaction. It feels like what it's doing is that it's really causing the eyes themselves to have this inflammation, and it's actually interfering with their tear duct capacity and capability to do its job. So one of the things you can do as you're working with someone, the acupuncturist as well, have them work between chakras at one, let's go 6, 3, and 1. Brow, stomach, uterus. And let's get that chi flowing the way that it's designed to, and that's going to help you tremendously.
Okay.
And then, let's see. You've got a child next to you.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you do. You have a child next to you. That child is just waiting for the right time. Actually, I need to say it this way. It's just waiting for you to invite it in. And So I know, honey, I can feel it in your heart that you want a child. Is there something that you're afraid of around childbirth or carrying a child? Is there a family history that you're concerned about?
Not with the family history. You know, I am concerned I might pass on my, you know, all my bad emotions or whatever the bad things I have to my child. I'm really afraid of that. I don't want to do it. So I just want to work on myself first and then, you know, go ahead with the child. But, you know, it's...
Yeah, and the feet are that kind of anxiety, I'm going to use that, or fear stepping forward into this. Okay, so let me tell you, I can tell you about the energetics of this child. The energetics of this child is when this child comes into form, you are going to have to be on your feet, think on your feet, and run fast. This child is a crystal. This child is very evolved in their intuition. That's why this child has chosen you as a mother, because of your intuitive abilities. This child is very aware, as I can touch it, very aware of what it's came here. It's going to come on this earth to be able to do. You're going to have a hard time distracting it from its spiritual work. And one of the things with the history from the standpoint of the physicalness of your body, that emotional part of it, you know what? This child is here to help heal you. This child is going to be coming to help you recognize that you've got a beautiful child inside. I don't know if that can help you, but I'm going to tell you, this child is just waiting for you to invite it in. And if you can recognize it's an old, old soul, it's a crystal, very energetic, highly amplified and everything, chose you and your husband for a very specific reason, for you to both work on trust and to be able to speak on truth, which is part of the thing that you both have been working on in your life. I mean, this child will be a gift when you decide to invite it in. And when you do, you're going to get pregnant.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. You know, let's thank this beautiful little soul. It's over there kind of looking at me. It's still looking at me. It's like, hello, Carol, tell her all about me, Toby. So anyway, and then the rest of it, you're just going to get to discover yourself. But from a uterine standpoint.
I just had to be ready to invite it into our lives. And then
it just, absolutely. And let go, you know, don't be unwise about wanting to do your own work, sweetie. That is absolutely imperative for us to do our own healing. But the universe is very kind. As souls are very kind and animals are very kind. When we desire to bring into our life what will help us heal and what can allow us to be of service to others, then we're gifted very beautifully by other souls on the other side that come to us. And that's what this child is. And this child will wait. This child is not going to go anywhere. We'll wait until you are ready and will energetically support you in who you are and what you're wanting to do. And but when you decide that this is time, I'm going to tell you that little bean's going to drop right in, and you're going to have a heck of a ride the rest of your life. You're going to, you know, those feet are going to be dry because you're running too fast, honey.
one more question. Do you see how many months do I have to wait, or what's the time period that it might happen? Do you see?
You know what? Sweet, it is up to you. I mean, you really are the one that holds this. And So that can be something that you can work with. The other thing is, okay. is that I have a wonderful intuitive that I work with at the station that basically said, what about eating some purple vegetables and fruit? Because what it'll be able to do is to be able to help the body itself high in antioxidants. That'll help with this chronic dry eye. So thank you for on the other side of this station for helping me with that. But, sweetie, it's really just your call. When you're ready, honey, you're going to know. If you try to press it and it isn't right, you're going to know. So just, you know, let your heart and your intuition be your guide and, you know, talk to your husband because he's really supportive and, you know, kind of look at it. And it's not going to be because the time of money or anything. You know, it's just going to be right for you, sweetie.
Okay, thank you. I'm really glad that I called the show, and thank you so much.
Oh, well, you're welcome, and welcome to CTR. You're going to love it. A lot of great information is shared. So I look forward to having you visit me another time on the show. What I want to do is I've got one more caller. I'm going to try to get on the line with that caller. But I do want to be sure to help you and by sharing some of the things that you can do from an alternative standpoint. The most important thing with the herpes virus is to always think immune system, immune system, immune system, and keeping it happy, healthy, and strong. And what that means is that by eating the right foods, foods that are high in antioxidants, you might want to refrain from citrus fruits and drinks. While they're very, very good for immune system building, when you're actually in a herpes outbreak, you will want to avoid those. Most important, sound like a broken record, but most important is to minimize or to eliminate sugar, processed sugar, from your diet. If you're going to do sugar, the natural sugar that comes with different fruits. But you do want to stay off of refined sugar if you have had the experience of herpes outbreak because it can aggravate it. Get plenty of rest. That's the very best thing that we can do for the human body. Fatigue actually wears everything down. And what it does is it actually slows the process down for the body to be able to regenerate itself. Use probiotics. Eat foods that are basically pH alkaline and its pH. That's going to help as well. Learn to manage stress. And then also olive leaf extract is also the equivalent from that alternative standpoint to actually taking antiviral drugs. So you might want to do some research on olive leaf extract because it has a lot of antiviral properties around it as well. From a psychological standpoint, usually when we get sour in life, negative in attitudes, voila, a perfect pH acidic environment for herpes to become active again. Let me jump on real quick. I want to take Karen. Karen, sweetie, we've only got a few minutes. I'd love to be able to kind of get this started. Can you share with me what I can do to help you?
Yes. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your work. It means so much to so many of us. And
thank
my question
you.
Has to deal with my husband. He's having lung and throat issues. And mm-hmm. I was wondering if you could give me any insight on that.
I can.
I've seen a doctor.
Pardon me? Has he seen one?
Yes.
Okay. There are two different things, actually, but combined. Oh, I always talk in riddles. What it has to do is that I'm picking up some reflux. I'm picking up some yeast in his digestive tract. I've got a mild grade bacterial infection that is causing it feels like an inflammation in the lungs itself. The throat itself feels like it's more tied to digestive. The lungs itself feels like it's more tied to candida or an imbalance of bacteria that's gotten kind of rogue and gone its different direction. That's what it feels like. Almost feels like it has some energetics around asthma, but it doesn't feel like asthma. Did the doctor diagnose him?
Not yet.
Yeah.
They did a PET test on Monday.
Good. Okay. Is there pulmonary disease in his family?
I'm not real sure. I think there was, as far as like emphysema and that type of thing.
Yeah. Or COPD?
Yes.
Okay.
And he has been diagnosed with that.
Yes. So it feels like we've got an aggravated situation that's going on that's causing that COPD, as it feels to me, to be able to come in and to become active again. And so what you can do is work with the doctor on that and see what's going on. I know with the tests that the doctors are running to see if it's anything more than that, it does not feel that way to me. It feels like it's an old problem that's just become out of control is what it feels like, sweetie.
Oh, okay. Are there any medications or supplements?
Yeah, your doctor can talk to the doctor about that first and foremost, and then we can go from there. Sorry, sweet, I've got my little signal here. I need to cut off, but that you're on the right track. So thank you so much for Karen for calling and being patient with that. Thank you to all of you for joining me. I'm going to be back next Wednesday. I hope to see you on the radio next week. You have a wonderful week and great energy and good healing to all of you. Enjoy the roller coaster ride. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.